kids.
Yeah.
But we don't have too much of that out here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether Miss Maddie told you, but her son, Deacon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Did she tell you about Deacon Jones?
No.
Well, let her go over and ask her.
Okay.
And talk to Miss Maddie. Mm-hmm. Tell her about our Deacon Jones and the football player.
Oh.
Came from Eatonville.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was a... He was a good boy, but you know, I didn't never want him to play football because I never liked the football. And I used to listen to that football when it come on the radio. Didn't have no TV or nothing.
Uh-huh.
And the boys would get hurt so bad, you know. So when he come to tell me he wanted to play, something just spoke to me right quick and said, don't disencourage him. Said, you know, tell him to go on. But it hurted me because I didn't want him to play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Mother, he said, don't be worried about me. He said, I'm going out there and I'm going to be the best out there. He said, don't be worried.
Uh-huh.
But I like to worry myself to death.
Oh, I bet.
Uh-huh. He played 14 years with the Rams.
Really?
And he never got hurt.
Oh.
My children used to say, I'd be praying so. That's When he come out on the TV, see, my husband, he was sickly. He wanted to go to California to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
But they never would take him because he was sickly.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go up there.
Uh-huh.
I said, because they would have about three or four men on him trying to hold him down, you know. And I said, I'd be done jumped out of that stand or somewhere and killed myself or something. And when I see him come out on the TV, you know, I'd be satisfied, you
sure.
know. But my husband, he wanted to go up there to see him play.
Yeah.
So when the first time I went to California, I was way up in there. I said, Lord, I sure wish my husband was on this plane. He wanted to come up here so bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was, if I have to say it for him, he was really good. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't get hurt nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So about a month ago, he called and told me that he had a physical. The doctor, you know, had examined him. He said, Mother, I'm in good health. There ain't nothing wrong with me. So that made me feel good.
Uh-huh.
See, my daughter, she was up there during the time he first started the playing.
Yeah.
So when she come home, I said, Marin, I said, David, don't get hurt. He ain't got hurt or nothing. She said, no, Mother. She said, he ain't got hurt. He said, but if you see him and they're taking him off that field in the evening, you'd cry. Say, he looks so bad.
Oh.
Say, well, they'd be done, you know, holding him down, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hard game.
He didn't get none of his bones or nothing, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Mm.
And now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh. See, I don't know anything about football.
Well, I mean, that's what Eatonville.
Yeah.
This is what Eatonville brought.
Yeah.
See, that's why we're proud of Eatonville because
uh-huh.
we had so many mm-hmm. lawyers and doctors and teachers and prominent people, football players
right.
and basketball players, come out of Eatonville.
Uh-huh.
So we are a town that we are proud
right.
of our heritage here in Eatonville.
Uh-huh.
So we just—it's not just somebody saying we're trying to do something. But
uh-huh.
we come from a long way, and we need to be historic because
sure.
we're a historic town.
Yeah.
Because we had the only high school, I told you earlier, that the children from all around had to come out, be bused. Now, this is supposed to start busing children. They
uh-huh.
were bused from Winter Garden, Oakland, Tangerine,
uh-huh.
Apopka, and all to come here to Eatonville to
uh-huh.
school. See, so we've got something that we have a heritage.
Sure.
Because we put out good things and
yeah.
a good people and whatnot. We're
uh-huh.
just not trying to save you something, but we have a heritage
right.
that we can look back on and see how we have grown.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had, when did that Hungerford school, when did that start? That was an
right
important...
Right back in 1897, I believe it
uh-huh.
was. And I think they're getting ready now to celebrate 100 years
right.
of school
uh-huh.
here.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, we're not just trying to say that we want to be historic, but we are a historic
right.
town. Because,
yeah.
see, that school over there, and when it was first started,
mm-hmm.
Professor and Mrs. Calhoun were the first principals out there. And you see, Hungerford was a sister school from Tuskegee Institute.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yes. See,
uh-huh.
So we are not just
uh-huh.
trying to say something.
Sure.
We have a heritage out here,
right,
that's worthwhile for people to know.
Right.
And then it was the boarding
school. Yeah, the boarding school.
My son got a book out now. You may run across it sometime. And it's all, you know, he got a book out.
Uh-huh. What's it called? What's the name?
Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Is he the guy?
I had a lady to call me last week. I called her, and she was just laughing. I said, "What's the matter? Why are you so happy?" You say, "I'm reading this book of your son, Deacon Jones." I say, "You must be done fine a lot in that." She said, "Oh, Miss Jones, I just wish you could read it." But I can't see how to read it now.
So does your son live in California?
Uh-huh.
Does your son live in California?
Yes, he lives in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
He was out in Canada. He stayed out in Canada about a year, but he moved back to California.
Uh-huh.
So he's still in California now.
Uh-huh. You have any other children in Eatonville then?
No, he don't have no children.
Oh, uh-huh.
No, he don't have no. And the girl what I'm living with, she don't have no children.
Uh-huh. So, are there still a lot of Mosleys here in town then?
Yeah, it's grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
Mosley.
Uh-huh.
But the direct descendants of the James P. Mosley, they are in New Jersey too.
You know, I made a man out of him. He was going to school right out here in Wymo, and he must have been about in the 12th grade. And he wanted to quit school and go to New York, you know, on the truck, to pick beans, work in the celery field, you know. So he come to me and told me, said, "Mother, I want to go with Mr. Thomas up to New York." And I said, "David," I said, "I don't think you ought to go up there." I said, "You ought to stay here and go to school." Oh, he just wanted to go up there to work. So the lady I was working with that morning when I went to work, I was looking so down. She said, "Madam, what's the matter?" I said, "You know, my son want to come out of school and go to New York to work in the field, you know." And I said, "I don't want him to go." She said, "Madam," said, "just let him go head on." I said, "Don't you say nothing. Don't you be worried. Just let him go head on." So sure enough, he went on. And about 3 or 4 weeks after he was up there, they hadn't started the working, you know, and he didn't have no money and he didn't have nothing. So he called me up and said, "Mother," he said, I'm up here and I ain't been working and I ain't got no money." And said, and you know, knowing he being so young and way up there, it worried me to death for a few minutes, you know. Oh, I said, "Lord, my child up there among all them people, he don't know nobody or nothing." So when I went back to the house where I lived up there right there by Club Eden then. I told my husband, he was sitting on the porch, and I didn't have no money. So he said, "Matter what we gonna do?" I said, "I'm gonna call Mr. God and tell him about it." And I called the man that I was working for,
mm-hmm.
and he come to my house. He was there a little while,
mm-hmm.
and I explained it to him about it, and he gave me about $150.
Mm.
And did you know, the minute he gave me the money, something spoke to me, said, "Don't send David now, nickel. Don't send him nothing." And I didn't send it to him. He said, "Let him get back the same way he went up there, let him get back." So, sure enough, when he come back, they got him, Mr. Thomas, I think, got in the night by 1 or 2 o'clock. And he come in, when he come back, he come in my room and he woke me up. He said, "Mother," he said, "I'm back." He said, "I'll always and do what you tell me to do. He said, I'll never go off no more. He said, if I don't have but one pair of pants, I'm going to wash them and go to school. And I didn't have no more trouble with it.
Sometimes those hard lessons are important.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
I had eight of them, and I had a time raising them. I had a hard time raising. I had eight elephants here. I had 14, but I lost six.
Oh, uh-huh. Kids aren't easy. Kids aren't easy.
That's
right.
They're
not easy. No, they try you. That's true. Now, is there anyone in Eatonville that's known for being kind of a storyteller or anything like that, or a particularly good cook, or any kind of?
Zorro was the only storyteller that we had,
mm-hmm.
really, that I know anything about. Do you know any storytellers outside of Zorro? Evelyn, I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of good cooks out here now.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie Hoyt was a good cook. Miss Baldwin was a good cook. And Miss Nixon was an excellent cook. Mm-hmm. Miss Nixon, we called her. She was, and Miss, what was your lady, your aunt, Mosley lived down the corner?
Lula.
Lula, not Lula, the other one. Big Mama. Best Mama.
Best Mama.
Best Mama was a good cook. She
that's my grand.
That was your grandmother. That's one was your grandmother.
That's my daddy's stepmother. But she still
was
my grandmother.
Oh,
sure.
Because
right. I didn't know his mother died.
Yeah. What about, now when a baby was born, did lots of people, and do they still, make things for the baby?
Oh, yes. Now, they had Grandma Biddy was the midwife. Out here.
Yeah.
And she did most of the babies out here. Some of them went to doctors, but she granted most, maybe that's what they call it, granted
right.
most of the babies.
Uh-huh.
Got them cutting the cord and
yeah.
taking care of that part
uh-huh.
of it. And that was the only midwife we had out here, wasn't it?
Miss Dash.
Oh, Miss Dash was a midwife.
Was the next one.
Next
after.
Midwife after that.
Yeah.
And then we had a Mrs. Williams that lived across in a two-story house.
I didn't know her.
What was her first name? She was a midwife. Miss Dash and Grandma Biddy and Miss Williams were the midwives that were out here
uh-huh.
that delivered the babies. Few of them went to doctors, but the majority of them
uh-huh.
were done by midwives.
Uh-huh. I imagine back a ways it would have been too far to go to a hospital or a doctor.
Well, they didn't have that many. They didn't have hospitals. They had the Florida Sanitarium, and that was not a hospital per se for going to have babies. That was a health clinic
uh-huh.
that they had. And Orange Memorial, it's not Orange Memorial now, they call it something else. Orange Regional, but that was just a small
mm-hmm.
Hospital, but then they didn't go there to have babies. The doctors usually came,
mm-hmm.
and they had Dr. Callahan and Orlando, and Dr. Wooden,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Wells that delivered babies, but they delivered babies at home. They didn't go to hospital
mm-hmm.
to deliver babies.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason, only way you went to a hospital was if you had cesarean
mm-hmm.
birth,
uh-huh.
then they carried you to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you never heard of that. Nobody had
Cecilia, no.
Not in no black neighborhood,
no.
You understand.
Most
uh-huh.
everybody had natural births.
They really didn't have, well, back in those days, they just didn't have no place where you had a
uh-huh.
black family, because where they had the black at Orange before,
it was down in the basement.
Down
in the basement.
Back
and only,
the
and you only
back.
Went there, really, if you were very, very,
very,
very, very sick.
Yeah.
And it was just a small,
uh-huh.
I think the basement was as large as this
yeah.
room.
Hmm.
And It was a terrible place.
Uh-huh.
But that's what they did.
But everything has improved now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't even know where the old orange store was. I got lost when I went down there trying to find music that day.
Really?
Yeah. If they have changed it. Well, there's nothing no more like it used to be.
Yeah. Did you used to have all wells out here for water?
Oh, yes, that's all you had.
Yeah,
I told you previously when a family needed a well dug, the men, after they came from work, they had they didn't have tools like they have, machinery like they have now, but they had grubbing holes and axes and shovels that they would clear the land like that. And when they come in after work and somebody need a well dug, they would build a big fire out in the yard. And they would come and hammer the well down and get you water at night.
Uh-huh.
If you have needed a roof on your house, they just come, everybody come together and fix whatever needed to be done.
Uh-huh.
It was never out here that you had to go and hire somebody to build something.
Right.
They everybody chipped in together
So they have work parties where then the women would cook up something for them?
Yes,
that were?
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, what happened? How do you do? Huh?
And well, they had their own. Well, they had the old-fashioned pump for drinking water before we got regular.
Did they? Could they just go out and make a well anywhere here, or did they have to do like water witching? You know, did they ever do water witching here?
No, they didn't do that. It was always plenty of water.
Yeah.
Because I remember that. Now, see what they have done. Even I'm just keep looking at that lake down there. That lake is real, though. Mm-hmm. They sunk these artesian wells.
Uh-huh.
And that drained off a lot of water out of the aquifer.
Uh-huh.
But I do know, like we have a rainy, it rained, and we had to bury. You could think 6 feet when you had water. And if it was a rainy time, you had to, they would wait. Because it's water paper is hot.
Yeah.
But now, that's why you're getting sick holes now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's
just caving in where
they
used to be.
You take Lake Sabine where we used to go to swimming.
Mm-hmm.
That lake was up real, up.
Mm-hmm.
So they suck those wells. I don't know how well engineers do this. But, it drained down that aquifer, and those holes will open up. But we've been fortunate. That's what I keep telling them. I mean, I said, we need to keep our town, keep it together, but we are in prime land. You know, we don't be bothered. But we had one hurricane that I remember, and that was in 1960 when Donna came. And she was so ridiculous talking about the hurricane now.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go, well, they don't have nothing up there, so I guess I'll go. It went out into the Gulf of Mexico, they'd come back to this.
Okay.
It came right through here. That's the only one out of all of them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even since I've been born.
Right.
We have the wind,
uh-huh.
and we have the rain.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
No flood here.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's prime land.
Mm-hmm.
When those old men was marching down there, and I have to laugh sometimes. I'm not saying it, but this is the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave this land to Eden to these 27 men, they were putting them out in the woods.
Uh-huh.
You follow me?
Yeah.
But it's just like old Barabbas. But he was saying, no, don't throw me in the bypass.
Uh-huh.
So they threw him in the bypass. That's where I was bred and born. So what? I said, don't do that. That's
right.
What they did. But when they put it here, it is prime land.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful land.
Right.
And if they, when they dug that swamp, that was a big head. Now you can see when I said when they sink these wells, there was a flowing well, and I can tell you, take you over here on, right off of Fairbanks, and go down, they done cut it off now, and go up that hill, you could hear that well. You know, like two men went down, they never found them anymore. You could hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Roaring water. It's underground, but it's a great big hole. You can go and look in it.
But, that was my son-in-law.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
And they sunk those wells and they took Lake Sevilla down. It was up higher. And from Forest City Road, see, you couldn't keep straight across. That far as it went there. But it was ditches, wasn't it, Elf?
Yeah, ditches.
On each side
of the
road. So they put the pipes down, and they drained all the water off.
So I imagine, I mean, back in the Depression, for instance, when the people in the cities were really suffering, probably people here in Eatonville had enough to eat.
I mean,
there's not too much of a problem. You know, if you have a place to live and enough to eat.
Yeah. We didn't have no fancy house. We didn't have no air conditioning. We didn't have no this and that. But we had to scrub the floor. We didn't have no water either.
Yeah.
But the floor was clean.
Yeah.
And then too, when we came, he was going to 26 houses in Eatonville, and we couldn't say, you know, the French has been going to bed, and the Moses has been going to bed, and the Jones has been going to bed. We could just see everybody's, it was
alive.
The 26 houses out here, when we came out here, that was in 1930, so you could see everybody's life that went out. And we all had plenty of food, plenty of hogs. Somebody had a cow and somebody would butcher. They would always give you a piece of meat, so you didn't even really have to worry. And you had your chickens and your eggs. And
we raised our own chickens.
They had everything, so you didn't have to go to the market. And usually when you go on Saturday to the store and buy a little piece of beef, maybe, that was all you had to do. You know, because everybody else was, you had your chickens, and everybody had their own hog, and everybody would kill a hog, everybody got a little piece of hog.
You could fish, whatever.
And my father, my cousin told me when I was in Chicago last week before last, that you all lived off the land. We caught the fish, and we hunted for the squirrels and the birds, and the possums and the coons and whatnot, so we didn't really have to be worried about, like people do about food now. There were no hungry people.
It's funny, people always go to the cities thinking they're going to get jobs. And actually, then when the crunch comes, they got nothing to eat.
Miss Maddie just told you, like, how a boy thought he was going to go up on the farm and work. And he met up there and there wasn't nothing. He was up there and didn't have any money, and he had to come home. Thought you were going to go in up there and look green on the other side of the fence, and the green was right there.
So there are people who still live off the land a bit here?
Oh, sure they do. I know families that still go hunting and still go fishing.
Now I go fishing.
Yeah, she goes. She goes.
Only thing that's made me so mad, they just have ruined the lakes. They have polluted Lake Monroe, and they just opened up the, not the estuary on Lake Jessup, but all that grass, marshland, they let that water go back up in there, so it can purify the water. But it's just like this lake here, it's getting clogged. And then it's, you know, we used to breathe, and you clean out, you dust your house, your dust would be white looking, but it's black now, like soot.
Right, like from pollution and the car exhaust.
And you inhaled and all of that.
That's true.
And everybody in the lake now wants a great big motor. And they have run all the speckled up in the bushes.
And
I'm not going in the bushes. That's where they are. And they have this, it's just so many people. And like
going out Wymore Road before they put those houses over there in that old orange grove. You could look up on the light wire, and the, like this time a year, the dove.
It'll be lined up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, I would say just look at the gravy up on the. Yes, sir. And right back here on Lake Lucia, I get tangled up when I get down there. Now, uh-huh. We used to go down there and catch the swamp rat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's nothing down there now. And every now and then, when the quail used to just come through, but covered the quail would come through.
Yeah.
And you don't hardly see a cover now at all.
And they were so thick, they were up in Edenville.
That's right. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, up in the town part, what we call the town. Well, they would be up there. And see, like now, like I said, for Thanksgiving, we, like turkey, we had all wild food. And my mom could cook it too. Mm-hmm. She'd have quails and squirrels, and we'd have rabbit and all that, and she'd brown it and put it in that old wooden stove in a long pan and let it bake, child, and it was good. We ate. We weren't hungry now.
Yeah.
See, they had the garden, they had to do all that, and all you got to do was make the bread. It's mad at each morning there, because they were living around there in front of my grandma's house.
Well, I think I just about asked you about all the questions I can think of asking.
You think so?
Unless you got something more to talk about.
I don't think so. It's just that... that's about cover it all. Like I say, how time changes. Like I said, we would be down on that main street there by St. Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
That's where we played in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like stuff
dogs.
And
some, baseball and
stickball. Yeah, and then another thing, this time of year, the bats would be there.
Oh.
And we would make a big, a wide bowl. And when they come through, we used to bat them down.
Did you really?
The bats, you know, they used to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bat them. We go down, we go for them. And they go for you, too.
Would they really?
Yeah, they'll dive at
you. Well, I've been dived at before. Not here, but in another state, you know. But
they'll dive.
But they've got that radar, so they never actually hit you. But they scare you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, we would go down there, right in that main street, there, right down in St. Lawrence. And see, there was a lot of oak trees along there, too. And we adapted back down late in the afternoon. And that's how we played. We didn't, there wasn't nobody getting in no trouble. Nobody was hurt. Kids go home.
Do you think kids suffer today by watching too much television?
Yes.
Don't get enough activity?
Too much television.
And then they're seeing things and they're going out trying to imitate what they
see. What they see.
A lot of stuff on there is pretty bad.
And what I can't understand is it's just terrible.
You getting tired, Miss Maddie?
Yeah.
You getting tired?
I'm ready.
You ready to go? Okay. All right.
Who's going to take us home?
All right.
When she could see, when she had her first, that oldest girl, and I was following my mama, and she was in, she was in the bed then. I ain't know what was on. I'm just, that makes her see I'm 80 now.
You're 80 now?
I'm from
1916. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was October past. I was 80.
Oh.
And I was taking care of some kids. And they got this dog. And then they had this flea man to come in and put that mess in the carpet. And I inhaled that stuff, and I had to go to get radiation to get that stuff out of my throat.
Oh, did you? What was that stuff?
Forks.
Yeah, that's poison.
Kill you.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing I had the old tonsils back then.
That's right.
But it really, it really just changed my whole body.
Did it really?
You know what I mean. It took my teeth out. I'm in the process of getting my teeth. They take it to the house. But I've had it. I had that old wisdom tooth. Can you imagine all these years back there?
Yeah.
And I've had a problem with it. And then it's not. And then I said to myself, what in the world is going to happen next to people that they just got to have everything just for them? What is a flea? Yeah, everybody has had a flea on.
Mm-hmm.
Put the dog out, though. I got a pretty dog now, beautiful dog. I kept him in the house when he was young, and he kept getting grown and grown. And he won't start barking. So I told him, I don't. He got a nice house outside. Just put a brand new top on. Yeah. Let's stay out, though.
Well, that's
the only thing he knows when it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He starts barking to eat. So I feed him once a day, and I threw it.
Yeah.
I have somebody out there.
Oh, yeah, he's been out there.
Yeah.
A while.
Is it?
I think it's that same guy.
Who is that, Ellen?
Where?
Fish.
Out there fishing. I don't know where he's out there. Somebody came from across the lake over there. That's his man. He comes fishing. I see a red truck over there. He lives in Catalina. I don't know his name, but he lives in Catalina. He comes fishing out there quite frequently. He usually comes on Saturday.
I saw him striking over there in the lily pads.
You did? Well, that, I saw him sitting out in the middle. Then he started around this way. I don't know what he's getting now. I didn't see him catch anything. I didn't see him pull up anything.
But you go out there sometimes to
I don't have time to fish. I don't.
I want to go saltwater fishing.
I want some freshwater fish, but I haven't had.
My
son's been catching some catfish out there.
And
I told him, I said, you haven't been catching any fish. But he said, just do it by spell. So I guess he'll go and catch some. One day he caught some nice brim from out there, bluegill. Now, you going back tonight or you staying over?
No, I'm going back tonight.
All the way back to
No, it only takes.
Listen to
it. It only takes.
You're not by yourself.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here. You going to drive back by yourself?
Oh, no. I'm going to take. 93. That's what it's
95.
95.
And we had it was 70 some, so we've got nothing but, I would say, the cream of the crop.
Right.
You see, we were back here when? You know when I say that, when it was.
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't bat a bat in the street down there now. You can hardly get out.
Right,
the
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think next time I come, I think what I might like to do is maybe go directly to the school, because I know they all know about their heritage, you know, and just get in a classroom maybe with a teacher who might be willing to help and just talk directly to the kids and say to them, well, what does Eatonville mean to you? And, you know. And I think that would be helpful too.
Yeah.
Because
we had one principal here at the Hummingford Elementary School that every day he started off his day with the Hummingford song, my dear old Hummingford, that song he started in there. And he wrote a little booklet about, let me see if I can put my fingers right quick.
I think that's the one that
Mr. Brooks drew.
Mm-hmm.